Welcome back to Current State on WKAR. Mark Bayshore here. We're glad you're along. 59 different taxes. 59 different taxes yielding nearly $40 billion in public revenue. That's a snapshot of current Michigan tax levies contained in a comprehensive new report. That money is used to pay for police and fire protection, Medicaid coverage, state employee salaries, schools, roads, and lots more. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan compiles its Michigan tax outline every year or two. The document's a summary of all existing state taxes and major local taxes and all kinds of related data, like how many dollars each tax generated, along with a review of recent tax changes. The nonpartisan group chose Tax Day, April 15th, to release this year's outline, so the lines at the bookstores are just starting to shorten as we speak. They've been flying off the shelves. And to learn more, we turn to Bob Schneider, Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Bob, welcome to Current State.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Seriously, tell us more about who your report is for. Who or what organizations tear into this thing?
This is our most popular report, and I think it's very broadly used. We started publishing the tax outline in 1964. It's a very long longevity report. At that time, it had 41 taxes. Now the 59 taxes are in the report. And it gets used by a whole host of folks. I think other public policy researchers dip into our report. I know students use it. Folks in state government and local governments, our friends in our associations in Lansing, lobbyists. We get 2,000 hits a month to the report on our website, and it's definitely our most popular one. That'll probably jump a bit when we do our update here. Once we've released it, but it's definitely a very popular report, and I think it's probably one of our more broadly read ones.
Go a little bit deeper with us, though. Give us an example or two, if you can, of how your data is used by one of these.
Right, I can give you a couple of examples. Back in November, I attended a forum sponsored by the Michigan League for Public Policy. They did a budget forum focusing on fiscal challenges to local governments, and former state budget director Mary Lanois was a presenter at their session, and she did a review of big picture local revenue issues. And I was very pleased. I attended and was pleased to see she drew heavily on our tax outline and cited us in the data that she compiled on sort of that broad based look, big picture look at the revenue scene. And on the other end of the spectrum, perhaps just a couple months ago, I got a call from an online retailer, and they were looking at one very specific element of our tax outline. We do a little table that reviews city income taxes as a list of all 22 cities that levy an income tax, what the rate is, how much they collect on an annual basis. They were interested. Apparently, they've been tracking that table over a number of years and trying to keep tabs on what cities assess for income tax for their own internal purposes. Hmm. So, in general, this is something used by a little bit of everybody. I think the most common use is somebody that just needs to learn a factoid about one tax or another and is using it as sort of a ready reference to, learn and refresh their memory on element of the
We'll
tax.
Revisit that online retailing piece here in just a minute, because that does play into a larger issue. We'll get to that in just a minute. You describe one trend from the new outline released yesterday as noteworthy. It shows a real contrast between tax revenues accruing to the state government compared to local governments. What did you discover exactly?
We saw a pretty significant difference in state revenue trends and local revenue trends in the taxes. And that's sort of a flip from what maybe you'd seen 10 years ago. For local revenues, we saw we have a table in the outline that reviews recent tax collections for every tax that's in the outline from 2000. We do a four-year history, 2009 to 2012 in this particular version of the tax outline. From 2009 to 2012, We saw local revenues, primarily driven by property tax declines, dip by $1 billion over that four-year period. Mm-hmm. That's about an 8% decline in that in total local revenues from those taxes. On the other end, the state revenues went up. They went up by about $1.3 billion over that same four-year period, which is roughly a 5% increase over that time. Hardly mind-blowing, but at least state revenues on the upside. Local revenues
definitely, on
definitely constrained.
And not too surprisingly, this generated a pretty sharp response yesterday from the Michigan Municipal League, which called it an outrage and said, after taking our money, the state then has the audacity to criticize Michigan cities and villages for not operating efficiently. It would be like someone taking money out of your wallet and then a day later penalizing you for not having any money. That's quite a shot. Does your report typically generate responses like this from a stakeholder, or was that more unusual?
The tax outline generally doesn't get those types of responses, since generally the tax outline is more of an informational reference document. But I think, you know, we talked about examples of how folks use our tax outline. I think that's another example of, I think, MML basically recognized in looking at those revenue trends that we showed in the report that, you know, they told a story. And, of course, revenue sharing is not a specific component of our report, but in an era where revenue sharing has been going down to local governments.
But the data is relevant, certainly.
The other local revenues continue to go down. State revenues are going up. And I think from MML's perspective of saying maybe it's time to look at sharing some more of those revenues with local governments, given our revenue constraints with property taxes.
Does your report get more closely looked at in an election year?
I suppose all of our reports probably get more closely looked at in an election year.
Speaking of municipal revenue, one of the recent tax changes that you document is the recent phasing out of the personal property tax. That's been long considered an impediment to growth and hiring by the business community. How much will the phase out of the PPT change the revenue landscape from your perspective?
Well, and you're correct. I mean, the personal property tax, you know, is essentially a levy on, you know, business equipment, machinery, technology, you know, business infrastructure, and business investment. And the business community has always said, you know, this is a disincentive for us to invest in our businesses and you know, create jobs and expand our businesses. The problem has always been that local units of government depend on that personal property tax revenue for a significant chunk of revenue, and estimated in an order of maybe $500 to $600 million on an annual basis. So in past efforts, the issue has always been, how do you replace that? How do you replace that revenue to local government so that you don't further gut needed local services? Mm-hmm. And that has happened with this legislative proposal. That revenue will be replaced to local governments, and the legislation that was just enacted revised that reimbursement process and set up two things. So first, the state assesses a use tax on individuals, and that use tax, a portion of it, the existing use tax, not an increase in the use tax, a portion of the existing use tax will be levied now by a special new authority. And they will have control of that revenue, and they will use that revenue to reimburse local governments for their revenue losses under the personal property tax exemptions that were passed. The other piece of that is a new state essential services assessment. That's covered in the tax outline as well and reviewed. And under that assessment, the state will begin collecting a lower rate, lower millage rate on that same exempted personal property. So instead of paying a higher local property tax, this smaller state assessment will be levied, and the state will use that revenue to sort of top off the reimbursement to local units of government. So that's how they got around that long-term
problem. In theory, they've made both sides of the ledger connect with one another, and now this still goes before the voters later this year.
Correct. This will be on the ballot in August.
Still subject to a popular vote. Our guest is Bob Schneider, Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about the CRC's, we can't say annual. It's every year or two they publish a Michigan tax outline. The use tax came up yesterday in an MLive story as well. Apparently, the state treasury relies on voluntary reporting of online purchases from out-of-state companies. And because the great majority of Michigan taxpayers simply don't include that in their tax returns, it apparently costs the state close to $500 million, at least according to this story. Can you flesh that out for us anymore?
The use tax again is an element of the tax outline, and right, the remote sales. You know, if you buy an item via the internet or via catalog from a company in California. That company generally, if it doesn't have an attachment to the state of Michigan, doesn't have what they call nexus in the state of Michigan, they're not required to collect the sales tax. Legally, you're required to give the state the fallback use tax on that. And again, that's a very difficult
thing to enforce
at the state level. They've put it on the income tax returns now. You're supposed to hopefully file that information with your taxes. But again, it's a challenge for the state. And it's on the, you know, I think estimates are in that article. I did see that article as well. The $500 million in revenue.
That's
that we might
significant. Get. Yeah. Do you make policy recommendations at the CRC, or is your focus really just raw data?
Many times we do not make policy recommendations. We're focused on trying to provide context and information to the citizenry so that they can learn about a public policy area. But if we do, we have in the past made policy recommendations if we feel that our analysis of the data or our analysis of underlying policy issues, if there's some common sense recommendations that can be made, we will make policy recommendations. We just put a report out in January on the ballot question process, how do we go from collecting signatures on a petition initiative to getting that on the ballot. And that was a report published in January. There we looked at what are Michigan's procedures. What's Michigan's level of oversight versus what do we see in other states? And we did make some recommendations. We recommended that Michigan go to sort of more of a front-end review of those petitions to look at the language and approve it in advance before we start going out and collecting signatures to avoid the legal issues that we've had in the courts in the past with some of those initiatives. And more disclosure of financial contributions to those ballot campaigns. So when we think it's warranted, we will make policy.
Interesting. I have to ask you about the quotation that your organization puts at the top of some of your web pages. CRC, what is it?
CRCMICH.org. Correct.
It's from the Michigan CRC's first executive director, a Mr. Lent Upson, who said, the right to criticize government is also an obligation to know what you're talking about, unquote. That ought to be famous.
Yeah, I like that quote, too. I think it really encapsulates what we do at CRC. We want to be an organization that the public can turn to when you're not looking for spin, you're not looking to be told to vote yes or no on this issue, but you want just the facts. You want unbiased background so that you can learn, as Dr. Upson said, you can know what you're talking about so that you can go and make an informed vote on whether it's a ballot initiative or a piece of legislation that's moving through the legislature. I think our mission and our role is to provide that nonpartisan, unbiased information to the public. And hopefully that helps improve policy making as well.
On the federal level, I think of the Congressional Budget Office, too. They have a reputation for unbiased data.
It's very similar. I used to work for the House Fiscal Agency.
Exactly.
They're very similar to the House Fiscal Agency, but in very similar ways. I think we've earned that reputation for being fair and unbiased in what we do. And I think that's what brings a lot of value to our reports.
Bob Schneider is the Director of State Affairs for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We've been talking about their brand new Michigan tax outline that they publish every year or two. You can find it online at crcmich.org. Bob Schneider, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it.